It is always with great trepidation that I return to the cinema to watch a sequel of anything other than well-established movie franchises such as James Bond, the original Star Wars series, or Harry Potter. But even some of those presumably rock-solid enterprises have had their fair share of less-than-stellar offerings. So anyway, it was off to the theater this week with a modicum of hope to see Red 2, one of the only new offerings this week, and a sequel to, you guessed it, Red. When I reviewed Red, I rather liked the film. I was surprised at how well-developed the story was, and I understood how some of the more sophisticated stars in it would have seen it as a chance to just have fun. So it was that I hoped Red 2 would also be fun. But I wasn't sure that this sort of tongue-in-cheek, spoofy action movie concept was good for a second go-round. Well, happy day! Red 2 is equally, if not more engaging, than its predecessor, Red. Red 2, unlike Red, is directed by Dean Parasot, most recently known for Fun with Dick and Jane, and fun he had with this film. Parasot not only took over the reins of directing all of the wonderful actors from the original Red, except for Morgan Freeman, but lucky enough for him, John and Eric Hober remained as the primary screenwriters. As with the original Red, the two Hobers have crafted a great plot line as well as a tight, fast-paced screenplay that will keep the audience glued to the action from start to end. What I truly admire about the Hobers is that they seem to be able to walk a fine line between serious elements of the storyline and the comical elements of the action scenes without letting either one diminish the other. There have been a number of movies where that one item has rendered the movie inane and not at all worth watching. In Red 2, retired CIA agent Marvin Boggs realizes that as a result of a long-ago op he and Frank Moses participated in, their lives are in danger and they must find out the details of the op in order to put an end to the threat. Of course, this reunites them with the other special agents from Red and leads them to all parts of the world while dodging outlandish assassination attempts and has them working with a very wacky, if not creepy, professor who was the heart of the whole operation. Of course, there is so much more depth to the story, but I don't want to give anything away. The best part of this film, as with the first Red, is the cast. Helen Mirren, John Malkovich, Bruce Willis, Mary Louise Parker, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Byung-Hun Lee, no relation to Bruce Lee, and Anthony Hopkins all turn in wonderful performances in roles that must have been tailor-made for each and every one. Think of what these folks do best. Zeta-Jones, exotic and sultry. Mirren, utmost sophistication in all she does. Willis, a name synonymous with outlandish, over-the-top, stupid action. Hopkins, does anyone do creepy better than this? And if you don't know Byung-Hun Lee, well, think eye candy youth and martial arts. My two favorite, though, were John Malkovich and Mary Louise Parker. Parker does the unassuming, innocent, but dumb like a fox routine better than anyone I've ever seen, and Malkovich just shines with his confused goofiness. Never take your eyes off his face, as it will tell you more than any spoken words in this film. So, if you're looking for a good time that won't insult your intelligence too much, I highly recommend you go see Red 2. And don't worry if you haven't seen the first Red. The two stories are totally separate. Red is a delightful 116 minutes in length and is rated PG-13 for pervasive action and violence, including frenetic gunplay, although nary a drop of blood is spilled, and for some language and drug material. This is Libby Wadman with the Friday Film Review, sponsored by the Utah Film Center, reminding you that film is always fun and fascinating.